I want to notice a text this morning from the 57th chapter of Isaiah in verse 15. Thus saith the High and the Lofty One who inhabiteth eternity. Now that verse says some more, but that's the part of it that I want. And frankly, I'm going to talk to you this morning about something I don't know much about. But you don't either, so maybe it won't hurt. And that's eternity. And anybody knows much about eternity. The wisdom of this world hasn't fathomed it. The greatest intellectual giant of the earth doesn't know much about eternity. Amen. He knows much about what he knows. But eternity is defined as the totality of time without beginning and ending. Everlastingness. An interminable duration. Now we know what terminal is. It's gotten to be quite a common word these days, terminal illnesses. And in the hospitals, that's quite a common thing. So-and-so has a terminal illness. Well, that means it's going to terminate in their death. Now I'm talking to you about an interminable something. It isn't going to terminate. Amen. There's no end to it. Yes. The end of a terminal illness is death. But the end of an interminable something, there isn't any such thing. It has no ending. Yes. Now let me illustrate it this way. It takes 10 hundred to make 1,000. Now we're all right along there, aren't we? Well, it takes 1,000,000,000 to make, or 1,000,000,000 to make 1,000,000. And we can all stay right along there too. Million's pretty common in these days. And it takes 1,000,000,000 to make 1,000,000,000. And that's rather easy to stay up with. Under the way the world lives now, we've had some billionaires. People worth 1,000,000,000. Well, and more than that, multi-billionaires. So you're still with me there. Well, it takes 1,000,000,000,000 to make 1,000,000,000,000. Just 2 or 3 days ago, the United States Congress passed a bill raising the debt limit of the United States to $1.4 trillion. Well, I guess you could still be along with me there. But it takes 1,000,000,000,000 to make 1,000,000,000,000, and we're kind of lost when we get there, aren't we? And 1,000,000,000,000,000 to make 1,000,000,000,000. And 1,000,000,000,000,000 to make 1,000,000,000,000,000. And 1,000,000,000,000,000 to make 1,000,000,000,000,000. And 1,000,000,000,000,000,000 to make 1,000,000,000,000,000. And 1,000,000,000,000,000 to make 1,000,000,000,000,000. And 1,000,000,000,000,000,000 to make 1,000,000,000,000,000. Now nobody knows how much that is. You and I were lost the way back down the line, weren't we?
We sure were.
That's written with 1 and 33 zeros. And no one could count it unless they stopped and counted it up as they went. But that doesn't measure eternity. Whoever wrote that great song, Amazing Grace, in the last verse they said, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Hadn't whittled a bit off of eternity 10,000 years, or a decillion years, hasn't whittled a bit off of eternity. Eternity is, according to the dictionary, the totality of time without beginning or ending. Well, now that's where we're all headed. Everybody in the whole world is headed for that. Somewhere on a highway, somebody's telling me about seeing a sign like this. You know, they have mileage signs on the highway. And there's a name of a town out there, and after it's a figure indicating how many miles it is from that particular point to that particular town. And they said they saw a sign, had maybe three different towns there with figures after them, indicating the distance to each one of them. And then there was a sign that says eternity straight ahead. No figure there. Nobody knows how far it is to eternity, but it's straight ahead for everybody. For every one of us. The psalmist made a statement like this in the 39th Psalm in verse 4. He says, thou hast made my days as a hand's breadth. Now think of that for a minute. This man lived to be an old man. At least he said, I was one time young and now I'm old. And I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Lived to be old. But he says, thou hast made my days as a hand's breadth. Yes. Now if I were setting up a mathematical equation on this statement, factoring it, it would read like this. My days compare to eternity like a hand's breadth does to space. Well, we might have to do a little figuring to get much of an idea of that. A hand's breadth, that's what that is. And here's this lectern up here, and it's 1, 2, 3, 4, little plus, 4 hand's breadths across this. From here back to the door would be probably 60 feet. Well, now we can get out of here pretty quick. If this building would get afire, that'd be nothing. We'd step right on out of there and be out pretty quick. But how many hand's breadths would there be there? It'd be a lot of them, over 100. Well, take the distance from here up to Jefferson. About 2 miles. They don't think anything about going from here to Jefferson. It's just a little jump. We could walk from here to Jefferson. But there'd be a few thousand hands breadths between here and Jefferson. Take the distance from here to Los Angeles, about 900 miles. Little plus. Well, we drive down there pretty quick, and if we go by air, we get down there in a couple of hours. Airplanes made a rather small world out of this. We'd get down there in a couple of hours, but I don't know how many hands breadths. There might be millions of them between here and Los Angeles. And take the distance from Los Angeles to New York, clear across the continent. And in an airplane, they get across there in about 4 hours. But the hands breadths would run up into astronomical figures from Los Angeles to New York, and that's common travel in these days. Up here, they tell us it's 93 million miles to the sun. I don't know how far that is, and they don't either. But that's the way they kind of figure it out. And beyond the sun, there are myriads of worlds and planets up there that they measure the distance from them down to this Earth in light years. That is a ray of light traveling at the rate of 186,000 miles a second. How many years did it take that ray of light to come from that planet down here? And that's space. Put a hand's breadth up by the side of that, and what do you have? Infinitesimal, isn't it? The psalmist says, that's the way my days, and I'm an old man, but that's the way my days compare to eternity. Just like a hand breadth does to space. My proposition is this. Considering these facts, and they are facts, whatever it costs you and me to save our souls, what difference does it make? If we can just save our souls. Now you will notice up here, right under eternity is timelessness. We don't know anything about that. We're creatures of time. Time is of essence in everything we do. And we don't know anything about anything that doesn't have time connected with it. That's all we know. We're time and earth-bound creatures. But here is timelessness. I've mentioned to you numbers of times that the greatest thing that strikes my mind about eternity is the foreverness of it. This word is mentioned only one time in the Holy Scriptures. Isaiah 57:15 that I just read to you. There's much said about eternal. That's used numbers of times. Everlasting. That's used quite a few times. And forever. And then there are a few references to forever and ever. He's trying to get it broken down to where we can get a little something out of it. And when we've gotten everything out of it we can get, we've still just gotten a little something. Because our minds don't grasp things like that. It's mind-boggling. Just the foreverness of it. Now, when we're through with life here, whatever our situation is at that time, that's forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, just right on. No change in that. Now, I was thinking, if you were to become a world traveler, which you probably won't, but there are many of them that travel the world over again and again these days, you might sit down and you would figure, where will I go this time? Will I go to Paris, to London, to Berlin, to Tokyo, to Peking, Shanghai? Where will I go this time? The world offers a lot of places of interest that people like to go. But you don't have that kind of a problem in figuring out where you're going to go in eternity. There's just two destinations there. You can't run a whole catalog of cities and countries and places out here, and will I go here, will I go there, what will this trip be, and so on. There's just two places. Heaven or hell, that's the only destinations in eternity. That's the only alternative we have. I've heard of a young man that he didn't know maybe just how to approach certain things, but he was saved and he wanted other people to be saved, and he walked up to a man and he said, would you like to go to heaven? The man said, no. And he said, go to hell then, and just walked on and left him. Well, that's the only other place to go.
Yes.
If he didn't want to go to heaven, that's the only other place to go. And that man got to thinking about that, what that half-bright fellow had told him. And he said, well, now that sounds pretty blunt, but it's pretty reasonable. If I don't go to heaven, that's the only other place for me to go. And he got to thinking about that, and it convicted him, and he got saved over that half-bright fellow telling him that. But that's just the way it is here. Eternity straight ahead, and just two destinations down there, and we're making the choice now which destination we'll arrive at.
Amen.
And when we arrive there, we can't change the thing. Now, in this world, we have everything all mixed up. Good and evil, light and darkness, and saved and unsaved, and so on. But this is the only world like this. It won't be like that in the next world.
Amen.
In the next world, everything is perfect, complete, absolute, total, and entire, whatever it is. Whichever side you land on. There'll be no mixture at all in the next world. When the Apostle Paul said concerning the hope of the righteous in the 8th chapter of Romans, that the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God, he was talking about the hope of the resurrection and the coming forth at the second coming of Christ. And he said, the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Here we have some folks saved that we don't judge to be saved. We have some folks not saved that we judge to be saved. And maybe they sit side by side and go right along in the same congregation and live together as buddies and pals and maybe spouses. But everything isn't clear in this world. Somebody said that surprises awaited all of us over in eternity. Said if we get to heaven, we'll see people there that we didn't expect to see there. That'll be one surprise. And we'll miss people from there that we thought would be there. We expected them to be there. That'll be another surprise. And he said the greatest surprise is that we're there ourselves. But now there's a day coming when everything's going to be cut clear. And they that turn many to righteousness shall shine as the stars forever and ever. There's not going to be any more question about who's saved and who isn't saved. In that day there will be a clear, distinct manifestation of the sons of God. They'll all stand out. There'll be the same clear, distinct manifestation of the vessels of wrath. In the 9th chapter of Romans, verses 22 and 23, he speaks of the vessels of wrath and the vessels of mercy. But they're going to be on one side and the other side in that day. They won't be mixed up, and there won't be some over here we'll be wondering about, are they saved or not saved, and some over here maybe. But there'll be a clear, distinct line of demarcation cut between the righteous and the unrighteous and the good and the evil and the saved and the unsaved. And everything in eternity will be perfect, complete, absolute, total, and entire. Not a thing mixed up there at all. Now this world we live in here, I was thinking like this. We think this is a pretty bad place to live. And it is. There's a lot of wickedness and a lot of evil. And I'll agree, it's a pretty bad world for righteous folks to live in. But I was just thinking, suppose we just take all the good out of this world. All the good people and all of the good of every kind and all of the love and sympathy and goodwill and everything, just take it all out of this world. What kind of a thing and place you think it'd be to live? Well, that's the way it's going to be over there. If people land in hell, it'll not be a good thing there. All the good will be taken out. You get vexed at people and you get tried about this and that and you think things get pretty difficult, but just take all the good out of here and see what kind of a place this would be to live. I wouldn't want to live in it. But that's what it's going to be. Perfect, complete, absolute, total, entire evil, bad, not a bit of good there. Amen. Not a bit. Good is of God. Amen. And he's going to gather it all to himself. Yes, Lord. He lets us use it while we're down here. And he lets unsaved people use some of his goodness too sometimes. But in the final wind-up, he's going to gather it all to himself, and there'll not be one spark of good left. down there on the left hand in eternity. Try to imagine what this world would be like to live in with not a bit of good in it. Then when you get through with that, let us appreciate the good that there is here. And the good people that there are here. And let us appreciate the blessings that God has blessed us with. I read about a pessimist and an optimist. Said the pessimist would take a glass of water that was just half full, and he'd say, that glass is half empty. The optimist would take the same glass and say, here's a glass half full. Let us appreciate the good there is around us. And the good people there are here. When we get through trying to imagine what life would be like in this world and on this planet if every bit of it was all gone. And we didn't have a bit of good, or there wasn't a good person left in the whole earth. No sympathy, no love, no charitable deeds or acts, nobody to help. That's the kind of a world people are going to go to that don't find Christ in this life. They're going to a world that doesn't have a good thing or a good person in it. And the clock's going around there, and I just kind of got an introduction into the subject and the way my mind's running. Lord willing, I'm going to follow this through. And you pray for me while I do it. Amen.